Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And as always, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants, as they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I have some things to say later on in the broadcast, but let's take a few calls. First up is Beverly, listening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Beverly's listening on the web. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you so much for your ministry. My question today has to do with Romans 11, 25, and 26, and your take on it, and if you can maybe kind of compare it to maybe a dispensationalist point of view.
Yeah, well, my take on this, and this, of course, is a very familiar passage, a passage in which there's an indication that all Israel will be saved. And so Paul here in Romans is writing that he doesn't want us to be ignorant of that mystery, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. Well, of course, what's going on here is Paul is quoting in part from the Old Testament. And the idea here is that there's a mystery that will take place. And you see that mystery in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, I believe. And this mystery of the gospel, if I can look it up here quickly because I don't have it at the tip of my tongue, but this mystery of the gospel is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. So what you have going on in Romans chapter 11 is the beautiful explication of a mystery. All Israel will be saved. What is all Israel? Well, obviously, it cannot be just people of a particular ethnic background, because the Bible is very, very clear that if you are in Christ, whether you're Jew or Greek really doesn't matter, you are the royal seed of Abraham. Because Jesus is the royal seed. If you're in Christ, then you are yourself the royal seed of Abraham. And then when you get to the book of Revelation, you see that there's 144,000 on the one hand, the true believers numbered 12 times 12 times 1,000. On the other hand, it is an innumerable host. So two different vantage points referring to the same entity. But the idea here is the full complement of God's people, all Israel will be saved. And this is the bride that Jesus Christ, as the bridegroom, carries over the threshold of Jordan into the New Jerusalem.
Okay. And I guess also my question, which seems to come up, I have a friend who, you know, follows the dispensationalist viewpoint, is that meaning of the fullness of the Gentiles, like, I guess the way they explain it is it's a future event.
And yeah.
I don't know how to explain it in another way.
Well, here's the problem. What they're doing is they're taking their paradigm, imposing it on the Scripture. So the idea here in terms of explanation is not that you get this from the biblical text. You have to have the presupposition in mind and then impose it on the biblical text. You know, the idea that the dispensationalist has is that God has two distinct people necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming and then a second coming. So God will work with the church until the time he works with the Jews. And when he works with the Jews, all Israel will be saved. And what they mean by that is two-thirds of the Jews are going to be slaughtered in a bloody Holocaust in the tribulation, and then the third that remains is going to be saved through the preaching of these Jewish virgin evangelists. So the idea here is something that you have to take and impose in the scripture. And the reason I say that is if you look at the Old Testament, God has only had one people. That people has made up all kinds of different ethnicities. So you have Rahab, who, of course, saves the spies from being caught. You find her, even though she was a Canaanite, in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You have Ruth, a Moabite, the arch enemy of Israel. You find her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. In Esther chapter 8, you have the nations looking on and seeing how Esther is being sovereignly raised up to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And then the text tells us on that day, many different people from many different nations became Jews. So Jewishness is not a function here of your birth mother, because how can you become a Jew by watching Esther? You can't. You become a Jew because you're brought into all the types and shadows that point forward to Jesus Christ. So there's a beautiful connection on both sides of the cross. In the Old Testament, you only have one covenant people. That covenant people is made up of all those who believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel. And then in the New Testament, Paul uses the illustration of a cultivated olive tree. And what he's pointing out there is that if you are in Christ, you're part of that cultivated olive tree, whether you're Jew or Gentile, because the olive tree, though it's natural, can have grafts of other branches into the olive tree. And that, again, gets back to the mystery. The mystery of the gospel is that the Jews and Gentiles become one. Because they become one how? Through Jesus Christ. They are one in Jesus Christ. And of course, we see this in Galatians chapter 3, where you have not only no Jew or Greek, but you don't have any male or female, and you don't have any slave or free. That has nothing to do with your genealogy, your gender, or your station in life. If you're in Christ, then you are true Israel. And you also have to remember in the book of Revelation, there are those who say they are Jews, but they're not Jews. They are, as Jesus himself says to the church at Philadelphia, they are a synagogue of Satan. Or, you know, when Jesus walked this earth, he said, you know, you call yourself sons of Abraham? Out of these stones I can make sons of Abraham. So again, God is not a racist. He's not a land broker. And you have to have a predisposition. You have to have a paradigm that you impose on the scripture, and I think rather than doing that, you have to tell people to cleanse their perceptual lenses, and the way that they do that is by reading the Bible for all it's worth.
Right. Thank you. That was very eloquent, and I appreciate that you tied in other passages to help.
Well, you know, I've really written about this point in various places. One place mm-hmm. that I wrote about this is a book called The Apocalypse Code.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you again for taking my call.
It is my pleasure. Back to the phone lines, Phil in Los Angeles, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Phil.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, can you hear me all right?
You sound wonderful.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure.
My question is, was Mary a perpetual virgin, or did she have sons and daughters after Jesus Christ?
Well, you know, the tradition is that Mary remained virgin before, during, and after the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's a tradition that goes all the way back to the early Christians. So if you look at the Greek and the Latin and the Syriac fathers, in fact, let me extend that. You can go all the way to the reformers of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, Zwingli, and even John Calvin. They believed in the perpetual virginity of Mary. And so this is a very strong tradition in the Christian church that has been passed along to us. And I certainly hold to that tradition myself, although I have struggled with it in the past.
Yeah, because I was born in a Orthodox, like the Coptic Orthodox of Egypt, like the Egypt one, and we've been taught that Mary was a perpetual virgin. But like, how do we deal with the scriptures when it says that she came with her with his brothers and sisters, and you know she went around with Judas and with Jacob, the son, James, the son, the brother of Jesus Christ. So how do we deal with that? Why were they going with her?
Yeah, so what's going on here is that there's a word in the Greek, adelphoi. I'm not Greek myself, but I'm getting more familiar with the Greek language. Adelphoi, that's a plural word for brothers. And I always say that words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. Adelphos, the singular, can mean any of several degrees of relationship, and that includes stepbrother or cousin. Now, there's a biblical precedent for that. I think back to Abraham saying to his nephew Lot, "We are adelphoi, we are brethren." And Jacob's uncle Laban said to him, "You are my adelphos, you are my brother." So the Eastern Christians that you're referring to, the Coptic Christians, your heritage, embrace the story that is preserved in the mid-second century, in which Joseph is an old widower with children, and Joseph's children, they could have even been Mary's age, were Jesus's older step-siblings. That's the way the tradition has it. And the reason that I give this tradition a lot of weight is because it is something that is passed on by the church. So you have the apostles, you have the disciples of the apostles, you have the apologists, you have the church father, all the way down to you get to the reformers, they all believe the same thing.
Well, even the reformers.
Yes, the reformers that I mentioned, including Luther and Calvin and Zwingli. And I'm sure there are many others, but I can't say for sure off the top of my head.
Even Protestants now don't believe that, but the founding fathers, like quote unquote, like the Luther and Calvin believe that, but there are people who don't believe that then. So I guess that clears that.
Well, this is something that you can agree to disagree on agreeably, meaning that this does not in any way impinge upon salvation. It is not an essential of the historic Christian faith. I think it's important, but I don't think it's essential. But concerning Matthew 1:25, a lot of people will bring that up, where Joseph knew her not until she had borne a son. A lot of people will say that, well, that must mean, the implication means that after she had Christ, she had children. But John Calvin actually said something about this where the just and well-grounded inference can be drawn from these words as to what took place after the birth of Christ, not in a clear sense, but only in an unclear sense. In other words, you're not well-grounded to make this inference. And the reason he said that is we find the same Greek phrasing in Christ's words to his disciples, "Behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age." The word "until" clearly does not imply Christ will no longer be with the disciples beyond the end of the age. So Calvin is using that kind of reasoning to say that you can't take Matthew chapter 125 and use that to say, well, she didn't have any kids before Jesus Christ, but after she did. He's using Scripture, reading Scripture in light of Scripture, to say, I don't think that really makes any sense.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much, Hank, for answering my question.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's broadcast. 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And a shout out to all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also remember, our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be right back. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
In the DVD titled C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, featuring the brilliant acting of Max McLean, discover how the Hound of Heaven pursued Lewis relentlessly until he finally gave in, only to become the most influential Christian writer of the 20th century. To receive your copy of the DVD C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Ostenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, ostenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, But for what is on the table, you need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request the Ostinification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Luke. He's in Louisiana, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question for you. So, my question is, what do you think and what is your take on modern day prophets and these guys that will hold essentially meetings and things like that, and they'll preach and they will hold, you know, they will ask somebody to stand up and they will tell people about themselves and their past and future. And personally, I've checked these guys out, people like Brian Carnes. I've been to his meetings and such, and personally, he has told me things about myself and my friends, things about themselves, about our past, present, and future, and it was very impressive, and it was very creepy in a sense, and I'm wondering if you know anything about this.
Well, first of all, yes, what I know about this is that the Bible does not talk about prophets being able to foretell the future in our epoch of time. In fact, what God in his mercy has done is he has veiled the future. If we knew the future, we'd have a hard time facing the future. I can tell you, when I was diagnosed with cancer almost 1 year ago now, if I would have known that 6 months before, that I was going to get a diagnosis in 6 months, that I had cancer, an incurable stage 4 cancer, it would have freaked me out, and justifiably so. God, in his mercy, did not let that happen until the appointed time, and then he gave me the grace that I needed, and that's what he does. He gives us the grace that we need in the moment, and oftentimes not a moment before. So the prophets in Scripture are given so that we might know that their words are authentic, that their words are trustworthy and true. I told you these things before they happen so that when they happen, you would believe. The biblical statement being very, very clear that we have a repository of truth that we can believe, that we can hold to. But modern day prophets, and I have been checking this out for about 30 years, modern day prophets have one thing in common. They're 100% wrong 100% of the time. Now, in terms of cold reading, that can be done a lot of different ways. Who was the guy that was, I can't remember his name right now, but there's a guy who got caught. You know, the people would come into the church and someone would be interviewing them, and then they'd be giving the information. Peter Popoff is the guy I was thinking about. They give the information to him via an earpiece, and then they would be amazed when he would tell them exactly what their address was and this and that about them. But I'll tell you something. I had a friend, and have a friend, I should say, not had, who is a world-class stage hypnotist and magician. I mean, he is absolutely incredible. I was with him not long ago, and I was going to take out my credit card to pay the bill, and I couldn't find my credit card or my wallet, and then I couldn't find my watch, and he kind of smiled. He had that in his hand. He just showed me how easy it was to use sleight of hand and sleight of mind. But he came over one day with one of my kids. I think it was Katie, my second oldest daughter, and he did a cold reading that freaked her out. Quite frankly, it freaked me out, and I knew what he was doing. She said, no one could have possibly known that about me. But he did a little research, and he knew how to, get the tells from her, and he's just very, very good at it. And so this is what these people typically are good at doing. So let me say that the words prophet or apostles are not prophets or apostles. This is not a problem if you use it in the right way. An apostle may be used in the sense of a church planter or a missionary. You can use it in the sense of a pastor of pastors. A prophet can be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for its mission or who challenges the church to deeper commitment to Christ. However, the words apostle and prophet must not be used synonymous with first century apostles like John or Old Testament prophets like Jeremiah, people whose authority cannot be questioned or who receive new doctrinal revelations. They simply don't exist today, although many of them are claiming to have that particular gift.
Okay. And have you heard of Brian Karn?
I have seen him in a video of Brian Karn, but I have not really paid that much attention. He hasn't been on my radar. I'm familiar. I can picture him. I think he's African-American. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah. Young guy. And yeah. Also, he's a close friend of Benny Hinn. What do you think about that program?
Well, I know Benny Hinn very, very well. In fact, I've had dinner with him on a number of occasions, and he had my cell phone number at one time. And I remember one time he'd call me late at night, and he was in Minnesota. He was doing a miracle invasion rally is what they called that back then. And he called me excitedly because I told him, you lay off this thing about throwing your coat with the anointing on the crowd and everybody falls down. You know the ruse. You shouldn't be using it. I know what's up. You know what's up. Anyway, he called me excitedly telling me, he said, the crowd was screaming for me to throw my coat at them, and I didn't do it. So he was very, very proud that he was able to contain himself. But yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of research on Benny over the years. I wrote about him in a book called Christianity in Crisis. He is not only a false prophet in terms of the prophecies that he has purported to make, and we have some clips of those, but also, he is a false prophet in the sense of taking the clear essentials with respect to the nature of Jesus Christ and distorting them, either compromising, confusing, or outright contradicting them. And again, I wrote about that in my book, Christianity in Crisis.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for taking my call, and I will keep all this in mind.
Well, thank you so much for calling me, and thank you for an open heart and mind. I mean, what you have to do in all of these cases is test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. I'm looking in my book as we are speaking quickly for Benny Hinn. I'm not coming up with him as quickly as I'd like to. I'm rifling through the pages. Am I getting close? No, I'm not getting close. Okay. Well, I was going to read you a couple of quotes or play you a clip, but I'm just not prepared to do it. What he said on one occasion was, when you were born again, the Word was made flesh in you, and you became flesh of His flesh, and bone of his bone. Don't tell me you have Jesus. You were everything he was and everything he is and ever he shall be. The new man says, I am as he is. That's what it says. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, go in my name, go in my stead. Don't say, I have. Say, I am, I am, I am, I am. That's why you never, ever, ever ought to say, I'm sick. How can you be sick if you're a new creation? Say, I'm healed. Don't say, I'm a sinner. The new creature is no sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, that at best is an overstatement, but he is using and imploring people to use the same name by which God identified himself. I am, I am, I am. And then on one occasion, he said, I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't want gold in heaven. I got to have it now. I mean, when I get to glory, all my bills will be paid, brother. I don't have bills in glory. I won't need to worry about bills in glory. I got to have it now. And you say, well, Billy Hinn, isn't it wonderful to have streets of gold in heaven? Well, of course. But if I hear that thing one more time of how it will be and how it was, I'm going to kick somebody. you got to hand it to him. He has a little humor. And then on TBN, he was talking about people being raised from the dead, watching his program. And so he said, when you lose a loved one, say to the undertakers, not yet. I want to take my dead loved one and place him in front of that TV set for 24 hours. I actually see loved ones picking up the hands of the dead and letting them touch the screen. And people are getting raised as their hands are touching that screen. By the way, when I had dinner with him once at a place called Ferrantelli's in Southern California, I asked him, just give me the best documented cases of your resurrections of the dead or of your best healings. And so after a while, he sent me his three best. He said there were thousands and thousands and thousands, but he sent me his three best. I checked all three of them out, and all three of them were bogus. And in terms of getting any details on the resurrections, there were no details whatsoever. Now imagine if you were involved in raising someone from the dead. That would be emblazoned upon the canvas of your consciousness. I mean, when Jesus resurrected himself from the dead, I mean, this was the most momentous event in human history. And when Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the grave, this demonstrated that Jesus Christ was God. He waited 4 days when the body was stinking, the body was disintegrating, it was devolving within itself. He waited 3 days and then he raised Lazarus to demonstrate that he had the power over death and the grave. Now, do I believe that God can do the same thing today? Yes, but I will tell you with respect to Benny Hinn, and I've checked it out thoroughly, miracles are conspicuous by their absence in his ministry. Going to leave it at that. We're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Do remember you can join CRI's monthly support team by simply going to the web at equip.org. When you do, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, check that out at equip.org, or you can, of course, write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Also, we have some incredible resources. When I say incredible, if you want to watch a DVD that will blow your mind, Max McLean, he does this incredible version of C.S. Lewis being the most reluctant convert in England. Check it out on the web at equip.org.
After seeing Max McLean play the part of C.S. Lewis in the live stage performance of The Most Reluctant Convert, Hank Hanegraaff said, "Max McLean has done some very significant things in his life, but if portraying C.S. Lewis were the only thing he'd ever done, his life would have been extraordinarily worthwhile." To receive your copy of the DVD C.S. Lewis, On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed, complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again,
Here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from The Weight of Glory. This is one of the books available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. They're standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The quote of the day, again, C.S. Lewis. It is in the book The Weight of Glory, in an entry titled Wartime, Learning in Wartime. And of course, Lewis knew a lot about war. He himself was enlisted in the First World War, and he did the series of lectures that became Mere Christianity during World War II in radio addresses. Lewis says this: if all the world were Christian, it might not matter if all the world were uneducated. But as it is, a cultural life will exist out the church, whether it exists inside or not. To be ignorant and simple now, not to be able to meet the enemies on their own ground, would be to throw down our weapons and to betray our uneducated brethren who have under God no defense but us against the intellectual attacks of the heathen. Good philosophy must exist if, for no other reason, because bad philosophy needs to be answered. In other words, in a roundabout way, what Lewis is saying there, more eloquently than I now am paraphrasing, is that we always have to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. So if you are on the cutting edge of evangelism, you're always driven into education. And I have found that over the years, people ask me questions and I have no clue how to answer those questions. So what do I have to do? I have to research and return. But in researching, I learn something. Next time the question comes up, I have an answer to that question. So always be ready to give an answer. Realize that if you are willing to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, not a secret agent, but an ambassador for Jesus Christ, which you are called to be, God will give you lots of opportunities to answer questions. And most of the time, you won't have the answer, but you will be educated as you find the answer. It's one of the reasons we do the Bible in Spain broadcast. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Alice in Blaine, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Alice.
Oh, hello, Hank. I have a friend. It's not a friend. It's somebody that, well, they call me on the phone and ask for help. It's a young person who is a really new baby Christian, a former Sikh, and now he's trying to witness to his friends. And then he puts them on the phone, and it's like, help. Well, how do I help these people understand? I don't know anything about the Sikh. It's the problem. And
yes, well, this is kind of an interesting hybrid of Hinduism and Islam. So if you look at the Universal Brotherhood of Sikhism, it's neither Hindu nor Muslim, but a muddy mixture of the two. There are about 25 million worldwide, and the vast majority of them live in Punjab. It's a northern part of India, as well as in Pakistan. This is a religion that originated about 500 years ago. It was founded by a guy named Guru Nanak. He was born into Hinduism. He understood Islam, but he was disillusioned with both, so he came up with a new religion. He rejected the polytheism, the caste system of the Hindu worldview, but he did accept karma and reincarnation, and he believed that only obedience to the teachings of the gurus would liberate someone from the cycle of rebirth leading to union with the ultimate of reality in Sikhism. So this is a horrible, horrible religion in which you have to go through a reincarnation over and over and over again until finally you become one with Nirvana, or one with the universe. So we did an article on this, by the way, and you can find it on the web at equip.org.
What would it be under? How would I find it?
Sikhism. If you just go to equip.org and put into the search engine Sikhism, you'll find it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are entirely welcome. And of course, since I mentioned Hindus, let me say this about Hindus. They suppose that the ultimate reality, or Brahman, is an impersonal oneness that transcends all distinctions, including personal and propositional differentiations. So all of reality is a continuum. All of reality is a simplified whole. And humans, in concert with the rest of the universe, are this continuous extension of Brahman. The phrase that is so popular in Hinduism is that Atman is Brahman and Brahman is Atman. Atman being the individuated self. And they teach the goal of humanity is liberation from this endless cycle of death and reincarnation, and the Sikhs believe that as well. Liberation from this is attained when we realize that our individuated selves are an illusion, that all is one. And until that kind of enlightenment is achieved, and everything in humanity wars against achieving that enlightenment, the law of karma, until that is achieved, dictates that our deeds in previous lives determine whether we're reborn as a another man, if you're a man, or a woman, if you're a woman, or a monkey, if you're a monkey, or a mosquito. If your karma is in the right direction, you'll probably come back. If you're a mosquito, you might come back as something a little better. If your karma is not so good, you might be a weed in the next reincarnation. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Mary. She's listening in Westfield, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I was raised by a preacher father, but he was a very bad man. And so every time I ever prayed to Jesus to help me in my life, no one ever helped me. Jesus never helped me. So anyway, I had a dream one night where Jesus came to me and spoke to me telepathically, and he said, "I never meant for you to pray to me." He said, "I left my word for you to follow me. Follow me and know me. And when you know me, you'll become me. And when you become me, you won't need me. You'll be as powerful as me." So then I realized, or I thought from that interaction, was that it was more important that I transformed into the body of Christ as the highest form of worship, and that praying to him did nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, first of all, what you do with any kind of a dream is you test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. But Jesus taught us how to pray, right? And before I go on the Bible Last Minute broadcast, I always pray, and one of the things I pray is the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And I always add what is taken from Chronicles: "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." So I pray a prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. In fact, I wrote a book about that prayer called The Prayer of Jesus. There's also a Jesus prayer, but my book is called The Prayer of Jesus. And it's an explication of what each one of those platitudes, each one of those phrases actually represents, what it means. But in prayer, there are a number of things that you always want to do. Number one, you want to put your faith in God. Not in your own ability, not faith in faith, but faith in God. Faith in your own faith is ill-conceived, but if you put your faith in God, your faith becomes a channel of living trust between you as a human being and God, and then your faith is in something that is substantive, that will never fail you. So every single day as I pray, I remind the Lord that I remember that I have put my faith totally in him, not in my own resources, which are very, very limited, but in him. And then I also express adoration and worship for the Lord, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I want to worship him That's part of prayer. I want to confess my sins. We're told that we are to confess our sins, and if we do that, He's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then I give thanks. And this is all before I ask the Lord for anything. I give thanks because I find that I'm a very thankless person. God has just answered a prayer and blessed me in a very substantive way, and already I'm on to my next request. Forgetting to thank Him, like the one leper that came back and thanked the Lord, and the Lord said, where are the other nine? Weren't 10 healed? And then, of course, my supplications. I bring my supplications, my requests before the Lord. One of the things I do before the Bible Answer Men broadcast is I ask the Lord to bless the broadcast, to bless me as I speak, not by might nor by power, but speak by His Spirit. So I ask the Lord for a blessing because I don't want to go into the studio and use my own power. I want to use a power that is beyond me, the power of the Holy Spirit that gives me wisdom in the moment to do what I do, because, you know, James says not let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there's a stricter judgment. So I want to make sure that I'm teaching properly. All of that is part and parcel of prayer. And one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is the ability to have intimacy with Him through prayer, to be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity so that we can commune with God. So again, test the dream in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. And I hope I gave you some pointers that will help you as you continue a life of intimacy with the Lord through prayer. Jesus often withdrew, Luke says, to lonely places, and He prayed because He desired intimacy with His Heavenly Father. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Every Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888 to ask Hank. You can contact us on the web. The resources available for those who support the ministry, you can find them on the web at equip.org. And also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We need many of you to be generous this month to help our ministry. The ministry can only operate effectively when you stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We're out of here for today. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the DVD, C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense.
That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.